Okay. Hey guys. Guys, so because I have the extended time, and you guys have been bothering me, at least several of you have been bothering me about demons all year, because we're doing brachot, so we're going to do it now, okay? And to remind you, I'm very, like, as you know, I have this obsession. If I start a topic, I need to be thorough, and as you know, I prepared a folder. If you want my sources, you can have all of them. You can have the 600-page dissertation by Sarah Ronis, which was excellent. You can have the 150-page, 160-page master's thesis from, like, Hebrew U, which was okay, right? You can have all the other articles that I put together. You can have Nelson Slipkin's excellent 30-page article in English, which summarizes some of it. Yes! I put a folder together, a Google folder together. You can have it all, okay? I will send it to you afterwards, and then, after we've outlined it, you can stop asking me questions about it, okay? Yeah. Good. Fine. So, fine. Demon's group chat. Yay. That's what I want in my life. Ugh. I even read articles by people I really dislike, as you saw my rant before. Ugh. I really don't like Yuval Harari's stuff. I don't like any of his stuff. This was no better. Okay. So, many, many places in Shas. Mostly Bafli, a little bit Yerushalmi, in the Midrashim. There are discussions of demons, often called Shadim, sometimes called Mazikin, sometimes called Ruchot, sometimes called all types of different things. There may be differences between them. There may not. That's in the, if you want, the master's thesis from Hebrew U. He goes through, are these the same? There's a lot of things to cover in these topics, okay? All those different types of demons? Yeah, whatever, they're different. Some more corporeal, less, this, that, I don't know. Okay? Many of the main sugyot, as you guys know, are in brachot. In fact, one of the most famous and intense agadatot in Shas about demons appears in the first parak of brachot on Daf Vav, and it says what?
Which one? The putting in... putting ashes into your eyes.
So that's not how the Gemara starts.
Starts off by
right. How does the Gemara start?
If you see all of them, you would...
Right. So the Gemara in right on Daf Vav, right, which is probably where you all hit it. Though there was ones before that, right?
Yeah.
In the first parak, there are several. Right on the Gemara on Daf Gimel, it says that you shouldn't go into a churva for one of three reasons. Do you remember why? Daf Gimel.
Mazikin.
One of the reasons is mazikin. Thank you.
Stuff falling on you.
One is that it might fall on you, correct? And the other is? The third is? Right, exactly. That people might suspect you of being involved in prostitution or whatever, any other illicit sexual act. And then the Gemara goes through why you need all three, right? Because if it's a new building, you don't have to worry about falling down. And if there's more than one person, right? So then, and they're kshirin, right? Then no one's going to suspect multiple kosher people of being involved in prostitution, but the demons, right? Depending on the time of day, right? And, they might attack, right? And then there are more Gemaras throughout Brachot, you'll see. By the time you get through Brachot, there are plenty of demon Gemaras. Probably the most expansive is the one in Vav, Tanya, Abba, Binyamin, Omri, Ilmoling, Nitna, Rishut, La'ayin, Lirot, Ein Kol Bria, Yachola, La'amod, Mipnei, Yamazikin. Okay? If the eye had been given the ability to see, no creature would be able to withstand it because of all the demons they would see. And Amar Abaye, Inu Nefishe Minan, they are more than we are. V'kaimelon kikisla l'ugya, and they stand over us like mounds of earth surrounding a pit. Amar Avuna kolchad v'chad minan alfe mismale urivivatami imine. Every person has 1,000 demons to his left and 10,000 to his right. Welcome to do the math, right, of how many demons we have in this room. And leading to the next line, Amar Rava, Haiduchka Dehave Bechala. The reason that you feel all squished when you're at a big public shir, the Chala, right, the Chala shir was right before Yom Tov, right, in Elul and Adar, right, you would have a big mass shir Kali thing of the whole, whatever, country or something, right? The reason it's squashed is not because, you know, everybody's showing up and, you know, it's still Corona and we're not used to having people sitting next to us and whatever. It's because the demons are coming to learn Torah because they also really like Shir.
In this room, we have 187,000
There you go. I didn't count how many people were here, but there you go. It sounds great. So fine. It's okay. They're all vaccinated. Okay. Yalla. Good. Fine. Yalla. So. Hani birche de shili. So he says, "Haiduch kadaik v'chala." Reading your squash is me. They're all around you. Hani birche dishalhe. The reason that the clothes of the sages wear out. Sorry, that's the next line. The reason your knees are fatigued, right? Even though you haven't really been walking, it's because the demons are banging on your knees. Hani mani diraban divalu. The reason that the clothes of Talmidei Chachamim wear out. Michufya didhu is because Talmidei Chachamim are rubbing against them. The friction from the right, because otherwise we don't exercise, right? We just sit and learn all day, right? We don't do anything, right? So if our clothes wear out, it must be because of demons. Hani kare deminakvan, when your feet are in pain, minayu, it's because of them. And then the Gemara, of course, in its very weird line, haiman devoy lemeidelu laiti kitma nihila, you want to see the demons, so take fine ashes, put it around your bed. Don't try this at home, please. We've dealt with enough dead cats. I don't need more. Okay. Vinahader apuria uvitsafra chazi kikara ditan nagolta. Right. And then in the morning, you will see their ashes. And if you want to see them and not just know they're there, I mind the Bible mechedznu like to shilyata dishunna ukamta vat ukamta buchrata vat buchrata. Vilikle binura vilishcheke vilamale ene mine vichozulu. You want to see them, so take the placenta or the afterbirth of a firstborn female black cat, the daughter of a firstborn female black cat, burn it in the fire, grind it up, and put it in your eyes, and you will see it. But then take the rest of the ashes, v'leshadye begufta defarzala, put them in an iron tube, l'chamte begushpanka defarzala, and seal it with an iron seal, dilma ganvi mine, because maybe the demons will steal it from you. V'lachdom pume, seal it, kehechlo litadzek, so you won't be damaged. Rabbi Barabai Avad Achi, Rabbi Barabai did this. Chazav Itzik, he saw the demons and was damaged. And Bo'u Rabbanan Rachmei Alive Itase. And then the rabbis davened on his behalf and he was healed. Okay, so this is the most detailed Gemara about presence of demons. But there are other, right, radical ones. You get the Gemara Kedushin Daf Chavtet of the seven-headed demon snake that hung out in the Beit Midrash. That was, right? Yeah, fun times, great story, right? Then you have 2.5-3 blot in the end of Psachim, which is what the topic of the dissertation is about, zugot, of never eat anything or do anything in pairs, because if you ever do anything in pairs, you will be attacked by demons. But don't worry, only people in Bavel care. And in Eretz Yisrael, they don't care, so the demons leave them alone, right? That is the conclusion of the Gemara. Yes, good luck figuring out. We'll try to talk about what that means. But yes, the Gemara's conclusion is, why in Eretz Yisrael do they not care? Because it says, Leman de kapid kapid alayu, the ones who care about demons, so they have to care about it. And if you don't care about them, so don't worry, they won't bother you. Right? So just don't care about them, and it'll all be fine. Right? And then there are other ones. There are ones where you have Yosef the demon, who teaches the rabbi's Torah. You have the Gemara in Gittin, which goes on for two blot, of Ashmodai, the king of the demons, who is trapped by Shlomo HaMelech when he's trying to find the Shamir, and it's a whole Gansa Maisa, right? He goes, and how does he trap Ashmodai? He digs a hole underneath his watering pit and fills it with wine, and Ashmodai doesn't want to drink it, but eventually he's thirsty, so he drinks it and gets drunk, and they trap him, right? I mean, right? And Ashmodai comes back, and there's all types of funky things along the way, right? He's laughing at one person, he's led to, you know, all types of wonderful things, and then eventually, at a moment of weakness, he, you know, kidnaps Shlomo, throws him to the other side of the world, takes over his form, and becomes king for a while, and tries to sleep with his wives in Anida, but he never takes off his shoes, because demons have different types of feet, so everyone would know what they look like. I mean, right, the Gemara is full of very fascinating stories about demons, from the ones who were Talmidei Chachamim. Because she's Ashmodai, I don't know. Because sometimes demons teach Torah. Remember, demons are very complicated in Gemara.
Yes, they went to the base.
They give shir. Yes, they want to learn Torah. So demons are very complicated, okay? Very good. So there is a lot that we could do with demons. So there's a lot to do with demons. What I want to do first is take an overview of the types of approaches you could take, okay? Let's talk about the existence of demons for a second. Or for the first half of this year, probably. Okay? So, yes.
Do demons exist?
There we go. That's the question we have to ask first. At least we do. Maybe that's not what you have to do in the Gemara. The Gemara assumed they did exist, seemingly. Right? But let's see. Right? Do demons exist? Okay. So, if you want them to. Good. So that is, don't worry, we'll get to that. That is one of my favorite sheets out. I don't understand it. But the Kutzker Rebbe had this wonderful thing. He's like, demons existed until the Rambam. And when the Rambam poskened them out of existence, they stopped existing. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, okay? It's a very weird cheetah. Fine. So what do we do with it, okay?
Is he not saying it as a joke?
No.
No?
No, that was a dead serious statement. I'm saying it as a joke. He was not. I don't understand it. Maybe he did. Okay? I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what to tell you. Then they said, oh, yeah. I don't know. I know. What do you want? Okay. Now you should know, it's not just, obviously it's not just the Gemara and the Midrashim. Demons play a very prominent role in much of the books that Jews were exposed to, or Jews were writing in those times. Remember, there are all types of books that Jews were writing at the time of Tanakh. So it's extensively, no. So here's the thing. In Chumash, there are very few times when demons ever show up. And even when they do, it's not clear that they're demons, right? Sometimes you have the word Shedim, but as you know, if you did the Gemara in Brachot, right, the Gemara is a machloket, right, about La Shedim, Lo Eloha, Ketiv Miriri, right? There are words in Tanakh which might mean demons, right? Right, Ketiv Miriri, Reshef, Shedim, which come up like once or twice, but it's not clear that it means demons, right? Some of them, there's machloket, even the Gemara. Is it demons? Is it Yisurin, right? Is it just suffering, right? So in Tanakh, it's very hard. There are a few things, Si'irim, right? The Si'irim, those might be demons according to some Rishonim. They might not be, right? So the Torah is not clear. We could talk about it. The Gemara talks about it a lot, and some of the apocryphal works talk about it a lot more, like Tobit, right? The book of Tobit talks about demons a lot. It is a very weird book. It is a very, very odd book. The Apocrypha are very weird. Okay, Tobit is very weird, and in like part of fighting demons has to do with putting like bird feces in your eyes. It's a very odd book. It's a very strange book. Whatever, the Apocrypha are very weird. The extension of Daniel is very weird. Daniel fights a dragon. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, this didn't make it into our Tanakh, but it did make it into Bereshit Rabbah, right? Okay, fun times. I gave Sharon that once here around Purim time. It was fun. It was fun. Great book. Yeah. If you want to. If you want to. I mean, Maccabees are important to read at some point. I mean, Tobit's weird. Judith, I mean, whatever you want. I don't know. Oh, we can talk about the Sefer Chatzon HaMetzora at some other point. I mean, they're interesting. Obviously, I've read many of them. Right? Not all of them, but, right? I've read some. Tobit is very weird. In Jubilees, there are demons. There's all types, right? And the early Christians believed in demons. They were very into demons, right? The Zoroastrians, who are the contemporaries of the Chachamim in Bavel, right? That's the most prominent religion the Gemara mostly takes place in the Sasanian, under the Sasanian Empire, right? And Zoroastrianism is the main religion. It's still a live religion. Just not so many people practice it, but they do exist, and apparently a lot of them speak Aramaic. Yes. Aura has a friend who, in order to get out of all his tickets, his parking tickets, you know, it can say you can put any language that you can talk to and you know whatever. He always put that he wanted to go to court and he needed a translator for Aramaic. So he always got off because they just didn't call him back, right? So there are people who speak Aramaic,
I thought it's considered a dead language.
Yeah, well, if you put it on your ticket, maybe, I don't know.
Just put, like, Swahili on my ticket.
And then you'll get someone who speaks Swahili. Aramaic is less likely.
No.
Why not?
Swahili is an actual language.
It's an actual language. I don't understand. Why would you assume that no one speaks that? Just because you don't live there.
More people speak Hebrew.
No, not Aramaic.
His wife was once out,
and she was
like
shopping,
she overheard like, oh,
they're
Muslim or something.
He
speaks Aramaic.
She
like went over to them. She was like, wait, are you speaking Aramaic?
That sounds right. Okay. So the first question we really got to ask before we delve into it, but we do need to sort of map out the issue, which is, okay, do demons exist? Okay? Do demons exist? Now, let's go through the possibilities, okay? Now, it's not just yes, no. That's not the possibilities here, right? This is a little bit, it's a little bit more complicated, okay? No, it's more complicated than that. That's not what I mean, right? Okay, do we have a marker here? What do we do with it? Okay, Zach, you can write for me, okay? But let's outline the possibilities here, okay? Now, just wait for the marker. Right now, once we get that out, right, obviously we can go through other cases. We've only talked about some, right? Meaning the Gemara are very detailed in different places, right? Like the Gemara in Chagiga, Tet Zayin, is one of the most important Gemaras on this, where the Gemara says that there are six things we know about demons, three in which they're like angels and three in which they're like human beings, right? The three ways in which they're like angels are that they have wings, right? They fly from one end of the earth to the other, and they know the future. And the three ways in which they're like humans are that they eat, drink, reproduce, and die, right? Okay, so we have like detailed Chagiga Daf Tet Zayin. I'll send you all my makarot, right? No, that's just one dissertation. That's don't worry, I have plenty. Okay, again, you know, if you want, look, I'll throw out a few more before we deal with this question. Right? If you want a pretty decent summary of at least some of the issues in terms of their existence, right? So Rabbi Nassim Slifkin's 30-page article is very good on this. It's a very succinct summary of the topic, where here's just a bunch of his summaries. Okay, he says there are numerous references to demons in the Babylonian Talmud. With regard to their formation, there's a view that demons were created on the eve of the first Shabbat of creation, which is a Mishnah in Avot and a Psach, and it is in Psachim Nun Dalet. Another statement about bats turning into demons eventually. It's a little bit complicated, but okay.
Evolution?
What?
Evolution.
After 7 years, they turn this. Whatever. It's a Gemara in Bava Kama Tet Zayin. There are others about how, right, there are several Midrashim about how demons are created from the sperm of Adam. In one version of Midrash, he refused in mourning to have sex at all with Chava, but he, right, not having sex for 130 years or whatever it was, right, led to some nocturnal emissions. Right, and those emissions became demons. And other versions of the Midrash, the demons, like some demons actually take over his body and make his body produce demons. I mean, it's very, very, very odd. And it's, by the way, it's not just Agarata, right? It's Halacha also. Demons have place in Halacha. So in one of the most celebrated ones, the Gemara says in Gittin and in Yevamot that if you hear a voice saying, divorce my wife, it's not considered significant because it might be a demon who is mimicking the voice of a husband. The Gemara in Makot says that if hatra'ah, right, warning in court, right, don't do that or you'll be killed or be punished, is given by a demon, it works. Obviously, all the halachic issues that you can't do because of the danger of demons, like sitting in the shade of certain trees or touching their stumps or going to ruin buildings, the Gemara in Brachot, or different issues in graveyards, or to go to a house when you're sleeping alone, or all the sugyot of zugot, which is several blot, right? You can't do anything in pairs, or drinking from rivers or lakes at night. And then, of course, as we said, there's the demon named Yosef who teaches the Talmidei Chachamim about demonic activities and other Torah. And then there's the seven-headed snake one, and then there's the Ashmodai one. Right? And then there's the Gemara we just saw, right? So this happens a lot. It happens to be in the Rishonim, it's much less, but it does appear, right? This is something that, right, Louis Ginsberg pointed out that it's less than the Rishonim. He went as far as to say it's never there. That's not true. It's just less. It's also really unfair because the people who wrote the Rishonim are often the same people who wrote the Midrashim in Eretz Yisrael, and the Midrashim in Eretz Yisrael do have a lot more discussion of demons, so it may just be, right, it may not be that they talk about it less, but they talk about it less in this discipline, right? So, okay. So when we approach this topic as a modern, right? So what methodologically, what approaches do we have? Okay? So I know you're going to say, well, the possibilities are they exist or they don't exist. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, right? Because, okay, first question, right? It's not just what do we believe, right? We have to ask, A, what do we believe? B, what does the Torah/Chazal believe? Right? And then, is it legitimate for us to believe differently, right? So Zach is writing it down. So what possibilities do we have? So possibility one is the Torah didn't believe in demons. Chazal never believed in demons. It's all metaphorical. And therefore, we don't believe in demons. And therefore, we are consistent, right, with Tanakh. We're consistent with Midrash. We're consistent with Chazal, right? They didn't believe in it. We don't believe in it. We're all fine. What do we then have to do? If that's the approach you want to take, what do you have to do? Yes, you have to go and explain every single passage in the Gemara, or at least give enough explanation that, you know, it's a derech to explain everything, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
At the other extreme, you could say, the Torah believes in demons, Chazal believe in demons, the Rishonim believe in demons, the Ganz Olam believes in demons, and therefore, we believe in demons, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Right? That's two possibilities. Both of those are easy to, at a certain level, justify, which is, okay, the first one says, both of these say, we believe the same as Chazal. Right? One says, well, Chazal believe in demons, so we believe in demons. What's the cost to that methodological approach? What? Okay, so exactly as Beer said, well, the problem is, well, that works if you believe in demons. Right? If you have a trouble believing in demons, then this is a problem. Right? Because you can say it as much as you want, which is Chazal said demons exist, so they exist. Right? But if you don't believe in demons, right? Well, no, one second. I'm not
easier.
I'm not saying easier. I'm saying there's a problem with it, right? The problem is, right, there's a certain easiness to it, which is we follow the Torah. The Torah says there are demons. Chazal say there are demons, and therefore I believe there are demons. The only slight kasha is, but I don't really believe in demons. Okay, so work on yourself. Miktane Amuna, you are weak, ye of little faith, right? There are demons all around you. Hello. Welcome. It's wonderful to see you. Okay? Good. At the other extreme, if you say the Torah never believed in demons, Chazal never believed in demons, and therefore I don't believe in demons, so you don't have Beer's problem, which is, well, I don't believe in demons, but you have a different problem, which is, as I said, now you got to go back through all these texts and say, okay, then what do they mean? Right? What do they mean? Right? Okay. But there are other possibilities. Third possibility is, I mean, in theory, you could say the Torah believed in demons, but we don't. That's very hard theologically, right? Because God presumably, right, knows whether there are demons or not. And if he says there are, then there are. But slightly easier than that is, no, Chazal believed in demons, but
we don't.
So here we got to be careful, right? So you could say, subdivide. Chazal affirmatively believe in demons, and we do not affirmative, right? We deny demons, right? But there are variations on that theme, such as Chazal were open to the possibility of demons, right? And therefore, we are open to the possibility of demons. Or Chazal were sure there were demons, and we're open to the possibility, but not committed to it, right? Right? I mean, these are all possibilities, right? Right now, I know this just sounds arbitrary, but you could say, now, why would you say something like that, right? Why would you say, right, what is the problem with saying Chazal believed in demons, and we, right, Chazal definitely believed in demons, and we definitely do not believe in demons?
What gives us the right to do that?
Good, so then you got to ask, what gives you the right to do that, right? Right? Okay? One second. That's the problem. Let's just get problems down. That's the problem you need to deal with, right, is why are you allowed to do that? You might be allowed to do it. But why would you be allowed to do it? Now, if you say Chazal were open to the possibility of demons, then what are you really saying?
They were unsure.
Right, they didn't necessarily believe in it. What were they doing? That was like the most ready explanation that they had for certain data,
but they were open to it
being something else, right? That's a very easy approach, because that would say, listen, Chazal, it's not that they definitely believed in it. They were, right? It was the best explanation maybe for the evidence as they had it. Right, and therefore we have better evidence, and maybe we don't believe it, right? Right? I mean, in theory, someone could do the opposite, but this is just weird, which is Chazal didn't believe in demons, but I do. I don't know why anyone would ever get to that possibility. That's, I mean, I guess technically possible, but that's very odd, right? Which is, I believe in demons, but I believe Chazal didn't, so I'm going to reread all the Gemaras. I mean, okay, that's just, I'm going to leave that off the table, even though it is a logically, I mean, it's a theoretical possibility. It's just insane. I mean, it's completely crazy. I don't know why you would do that to yourself. Fine. Now, but there's even more. You got to be more careful, because
there's also whether or not the people themselves believed it.
Sure, right? We could distinguish between Chazal, right, and the people in the time of Chazal, right, the Rabbanim. But then, right, and this is something that Rabbi Slifkin has written in several places, but I think it's important, is he said there is a problem. That there are, as we talked about, the dogmatists, which are, right, Chazal believed in demons, and therefore we believe in demons. But it really gets more extreme than that. Because we know, as we'll see, that is a machloket Rishonim. Right? Not all Rishonim believed in demons, and some Rishonim seem to have believed in demons. Right? So a reasonable person would say what I just said. There are Rishonim who believed in demons, and there are Rishonim who don't believe in demons. Right? However, there are both extremes. There are uber-rationalists who aren't okay with just themselves being uber-rationalists, but have to believe that anyone who was ever important in Jewish history thought like them, and therefore they are rationalist dogmatists, which is not only did Chazal deny demons, but all the Rishonim and Achronim who claim that there were demons, they're also saying it metaphorically, right? Because not only am I not willing to accept that Chazal believed in demons, I'm not willing to believe that anybody ever thought that Chazal believed in demons, right? There are people like this, right? I'll give you, he puts a link, not so, whatever. He gives a link to somebody from YBT who made that claim, that no one ever important ever believed there were demons, right? That's a little bit extreme, okay? Even if you don't believe in demons, there's no reason to believe that no one ever believed in demons. I mean, that's a ksat mugzam, right? And then there's the opposite, which are the people who say
everybody believed
in demons, and even the Rishonim who seem not to believe in demons, right? Not only do I think that Chazal believed there are demons, and therefore I believe in demons, but no one ever thought Chazal didn't believe in demons, and even the Rishonim who sound like Chazal didn't believe in demons don't say that.
Well, they were
right?
Saying metaphorically, they actually meant it.
Correct, right? Or it's a forgery, right? I promise you, all of this happens, right? All of this happens. All of this happens in the sugya, pretty much every crazy possibility you can find, except for the Chazal didn't believe in demons, but I do. I have never seen anyone say that. That's just bizarre, right? But pretty much everything else. And then, of course, there is the Kutzkers, which I don't even know what to do with, which is, they're both true, right? As Rice Clark put it before, you can be the Kutzker and cut the Gordian knot, right? Which is, aha! It's not that the Rambam is going against Chazal. The Rambam is poskening them out of existence. So Chazal believed in demons. The Rambam didn't. And they're both right. What? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what the Kutzker says. Right, in the Hanami. Okay. Good. Now, of course, that you could also say, right, variations on this, which are, there were people within Chazal who believed in it, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, we're treating Chazal as like everybody, but it's possible that no, there were people in the time of Chazal, just like there's a machlok Rishonim, there could be a machlok in Chazal, right? And then we paskin have a repaskin, right? These are all possible, right? Yes.
Are there any halachot ramifications of demons? If you give an example of that, there are multiple reasons for that. Are there any halachot that they cite that just because of demons, I guess you know?
Yeah, wow. Zuga. I mean, that's the longest sugya. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
That the entire dissertation is about that, right? Sarah Ronis is, that is the framing of the entire thing, right? Is that very wild Gemara that goes on for a very, very, very long time. In the Psachim. It's like three blots, like Kuf, I think like starts on Kuf Tet, Kuf Yod, to Kuf Yud Bet. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. So much there. But also the Ashmodai one is so long. So long. So long. And it's a great Agadata. Rav Rabinovich has an excellent piece on it. Metaphorical, of course. No, he has a great piece. he has a great piece. Oh, he's the best. Rabinovich is wonderful. Yeah. Too bad. Way before our times in Toronto. Way before. Like, you know, I don't know, 50 years ago, something like that. So good. Anyways, okay. So this is sort of the overview, right? Is that you really have all these possibilities, right? And of course, there's always the possibility that you don't have to make a decision, right? That like you're, you know, you can be open to saying, oh, I don't know, okay. I mean, look, do I believe there are demons? I mean, I've never encountered any. But if someone told, you know, if someone proved to me that we're demons, I don't know, would that shake my emunah?
So, because Chazal being open means, like, they might have just thought that that was the best available theory.
Correct.
For us to be open? Is that obviously not the same?
Correct. Meaning, right, meaning we could say, right, Chazal were open to it, meaning Chazal were offering the best theory available, yeah. Right? And then we could say, and we're open to it, which is, it's probably not the best theory, but, you know, if new evidence would come up, I mean, okay. I mean, whatever. Right? Right, like, I don't think it's, I don't think it's the most likely explanation for those same phenomena. But, like, if more evidence were to appear, then I would be open to changing my mind. Right? Meaning, you could do that, right? We could say that, like, the evidence that we know now, right, with the evidence available to us, it's less likely than, right, that they exist. But, I mean, okay.
What's holding it?
But maybe they do, right? Meaning you don't have to take a firm view, right? Okay. Right. Now, let me read you one line from Rav Avram Min Ahar, okay? Rav Avram Min Ahar is one of the Provençal Rishonim, right? Just to show you what it looks like for someone to hedge a little bit, okay? Bishedim, one line. Yesh meirabotenu anashim shahayu ma'aminim mitziat hashedim. There were among our rabbis those who believed that there were shedim. Right? That's what he comments. Right? That's his line, right? Does he believe? Does he not believe? Does he think all Chazal believed? Does he think all Rishonim believed? No! There were people who believed, right? Meaning the Shittot in the Gemara that talk about it extensively, presumably believe that it existed. Does that commit him to it? No. Does it commit him not to? No. Right? Right? You can have things like that.
Is there any opinion expressly by the Genesis?
No. Right? The Gemara never says they don't exist. Right. Now, of course, part of the problem is, and this is what really the master's thesis that I could send you from is about, is that part of it is going to also figure out what every term means, right? Meaning, let's say they don't believe in Shadim, but they do believe in Ruchot. I mean, like, okay, right? Like, you got to figure out every possible term, right? Meaning, the translation to modern Hebrew or modern English, right? If Shadim in modern Hebrew or demon in English doesn't necessarily, right? Because what we mean by demon, clearly in Gemara, is not the same as, like, the right? In many of the ancient religions, demons were always malevolent, right? We have malevolent demons, right? But we also have Tamidei Chachamim demons, right? And demons that just need to stuff themselves into the Beit Midrash. I mean, like, right? So it's not like what exactly a good translation is of demon, you know. What? Sure. I don't know. Okay. So let's go through. So let's put some names to this, okay? So I'll give you a name of someone who's particularly clear that Chazal believed in demons, and therefore we must believe in demons. Okay, here's a tshuva in the Radbaz. Okay, tshuva Radbaz chelak gimel simen taf hey Radbaz of David ben Zimra. Radbaz of David ben Zimra. Very important. Very important posek. One of the most prolific writers of the late Rishonic early Achronic period. Early Achronic, whatever. Yeah, I guess early Achronic. Whatever it is. He's, right, you're talking, whatever. He's born 1479, dies around 1573, okay? So that 94 years of his life sort of overlaps with end of Rishonic, early Achronic, whatever it is, very important posek, okay? So the Radbaz says as follows. He quotes the Me'iri, who says, Elu shemaminim b'mitzud ha-sheidim u'pu'lotehem. Those who believe in the existence of demons, asur lahem lishol bahem af b'chol. They cannot consult with them even during the week. Okay? Right? Right? He's like, the people who believe in demons should not talk. And then he says, Ella, skipping down, Ella she'inam ella divrei avai. But this is stupid. Okay? Right? V'agir selefi dat zo, Ella she'mechazvin ugdole poskim gorsen rechazvin gomash ikar edifai. Right? His point is, but it doesn't agree. It doesn't really exist. I mean, if you believe in them, then please don't consult with them. But it doesn't really exist, right? The Miri is on that list of people we don't really believe in demons, okay? The Radbaz then, after he quotes him, says, below tachshideni, don't suspect me. V'mneshe katavti lashona me'iri. Just because I quoted the me'iri, shani machish mitziud hashedim, that I denied demons, God forbid. Ki ani ma'amin b'chol divrei Chazal. I believed everything Chazal said. Afilu sicha kala shelahem. Even their, right, their basic, you know, they're like, not serious conversation. Kol shekein shaktuvim pshutim morim ha-metziutam, especially when everything that they write, it's a simple read, is that there are even the psukim, right, v'lo yizbichu ode zivchem ha-sirim, right, he says si'irim in the Torah, at least according to one day in Chazal, right, right, is demons, the Sirim. So he says, right, and Yizbechu la-shedim lo-eloa. Right, the Torah uses the word shade and sa'ir, which might mean demon, and he assumes, obviously means demon. And he says if the Torah, in one or two places, seems to hint at demons, and Chazal talk about it in 100 million places, then it must be demons. And God forbid I should deny it. Right? Right? Of course there are demons. Right? The Radbaz says, there are demons, and you must believe in demons. What? Chelek Gimel, Tshuva Taf Hei. It's not demons. Correct, because he doesn't believe in demons as an actual... Right, he metaphorized, right? Meaning, presumably the Meiri is going to go through and do exactly that. Is every time it says Madigan, he's going to come up with a metaphor, right? It means depression. It means whatever. Whatever it means, right?
Sleep paralysis.
Okay, here I'm going to just take a list here from Bryce Lifkin's article. Okay, so the Rambam is an interesting case because the Rambam, it's not in, surprisingly, it's not 1,000% clear what he says. It's very clear that what does the Rambam deny the existence of?
Magic,
right? The Rambam is very clear about the fact that...
He says you can use like magical amulets and stuff because they don't work.
Right, he says that not only is it usher to do magic, but anyone who thinks that there is such a thing as magic, the Torah just forbade it, is stupid, right? But it's not 100% clear that he says the same thing about demons. The closest he comes to saying anything is the following. I'll read you the English. The problem is, here's the problem. The Perush Mishnah is written in Judeo-Arabic, right? So I could read you the Hebrew, but it's a translation. So I could read you the English, it's a translation. So I don't know what the valence is in the original, okay? But I'll read you the English. The Rambam says, amongst that which you should know is that the perfected philosophers do not believe in tzlamim, by which I mean talismanry, right? I think I pronounced that right. Right? Yeah. Talismans. But scoff at them and those who think that they possess efficacy, etc. And I say this because I know that most people are seduced by this with great folly and with similar things and think that they are real, which is not so. And there are things that have received great publicity amongst the pagans, especially amongst the nations, which is called the Sabians. And they wrote works dealing with stars and witchcraft and demons and soothsaying, right? So when he says they think, the people think they are real and it is not so. So what does that mean?
Magic.
So it could mean that it means including the demons, right? All that's, right? That's Islamic, right? All the things to ward them off, right? It could mean that there are no such, there are no demons at all, right? And here's where it gets a little bit complicated. Professor Dorfixler, in his translation, insists that what the Rambam is saying here clearly is that there are no demons. There are some, however, who say no. What he means is there are people who believe you can talk to demons and communicate with demons and whatever, and that's not real. So, for example, Rav Aviner, right? So Mark Shapiro wasn't sure about this. He asked Rav Aviner. Rav Aviner is like a major rabbinic authority in the Chardal world, if you know what Chardal is, right? It's like Haredi Darti Lumi. It's like the right wing of the Darti Lumi world, right? So he wrote, HaRambam lo katam sham v'ferush she'en she'edim. The Rambam didn't explicitly write that there aren't demons. Elish she'ala b'she'edim, she'ala b'she'edim yevel. He said that asking demons for things is not true, is meaningless. V'kach anu ro'im in ha'aksher shu meganeh shitat shenot lasik dvarim ha'yidiyot. And therefore, he said what he's degrading is people who try to know the future. Kigon, kishuv, hashpaot, masalot, ruchaniyot, v'deva, etc. Right? So he said what he thinks is not the existence, they don't exist, but the Rambam thinks that they don't, right? Communicating
so
with them, right? And this is Ritzi Yehuda Cook as well. Ritzi Yehuda Cook says, I'm convinced that the Rambam believed in demons because Chazal did. And he said, and I'm convinced that my father believed in demons because
he clearly believes in demons if he, quote unquote, passed them out.
Well, that's Kotzker. I don't know what you want.
Where do you even posture the magic?
Say it again. So I'm not really sure what people gain by this, right? Why they assume that like it's worse to believe? I honestly don't understand, right? Right. So, and I'll just read you a line from Tzvi Yehuda. He writes. When you say the word shedim, some people say that's stupid, it's divrei yaldut, it's kid stuff. And they say, they laugh at you and they say, Evo yeshedim. Right? They mock. Where are the demons? And then he says, Ein malitzchok mizeh. Stop laughing. Right? Stop laughing. Anu lo karaim. We are not karaites. Bigmara tofsim ha-shedim makom gadol. Shedim are, you know, a lot of the Gemara. Umakom mamashi, and it's significant, including in halachic places. And he's like, besides my father, in two places, right? As much as like in some of the places, I know Rabbi Sklar did a metaphorical read of demons with you from Olat Riya, but in other places, he does seem to be in one place in Olat Riya, one place in Orod HaKodesh, he does seem to actually believe in demons. Well, I had a back and forth with Rabbi Sklar about this, which is also interesting, right? Because he has metaphorical reads about like 90% of the Gemaras on demons, but then sometimes he talks about demons as if they're real. What?
No,
Rav Cook. I don't know whether Rabbi Sklar believes in demons. You can ask him. We can add him to our list. I don't know. What? He says, and then he says, and here's an interesting methodological point. He makes a methodological point. He says, it's not just that it's in the Gemara. He says, we've gotten used to science, right? Or quasi-scientific views. But our view of science is really childish. Atmosfera hafizikalit shel ha-mazeh, that only that which is in the physical atmosphere of this world, hu mitziut, exists. Mitziut zo eina kolelet kol. That existence is not everything. Yesh od harbe matzavei mitziut. There are many other things which exist. Mitziut eino rak mashim mamashim ba'etzba. Memam shishim ba'etzba. Reality isn't only that which you can touch with your finger. Hizkarnu lefneichein divrei ha-omrim sheruchniut eina mamashut. We've talked about people who think that spirituality doesn't exist. Right, or isn't physical, isn't tangible. Ruchniyut hi emet. But spirituality exists. Emet mitziutit. I don't know. He says, Kishem shemalachim im briot mo'od amitiyot. And he says, furthermore, even the Rambam, right? What are you going to tell me? He denies demons? Fine, but he thinks there are angels. So why exactly is it worse?
Exactly.
Right? So he says, what exactly? The Rambam believed in angels, so what exactly do you gain? Right? Like, why? Have you met an angel? No, but you have no problem believing the Rambam believed in angels, but you have a problem believing he believed in demons, right? Please explain that one, right? The Rambam very clearly believed in angels, right? Well, it's not, well, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm not clear on this, right? Right? Now, it's, Right? And then he says there are these people who think that the Rambam was a philosopher. It's like, no, the Rambam was a tzaddik, gaon v'kadosh, v'lo yechol yot shekafar b'dvarim shemuzkarim b'gemara. So he would never deny that which is in the Gemara. Okay? Fine.
Do that a lot.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay? And then he said, oh, so then he goes on and he says, so why does the Rambam try to minimize the discussion of right? Because what's the problem? Why do, besides that one passage in Avodah Zarah and the Parish Mishnah, why do many people think the Rambam denied demons? It's not that he doesn't talk about it. It's that every time the Gemara seems to talk about it in a halakhic context, the Rambam provides a different explanation. Right? Right? That's really... For the Rambam, is that every time the Gemara says something about demons, right, the Rambam comes up with some other explanation. What?
Where did you get that spoon from?
It was just my pocket. I'm like playing with it.
Jojo, it was magic.
It was magic. That was just me showing you that really... Anyways, yeah.
If you're bringing demons everywhere, it's going to create fear in people.
No. One second. So he says, so here, Rav Shiud has the following fascinating chiddush, and he says that, look, the Rambam was a mechanech, b'tor mechanech, kalanishal kal Yisrael. He was the great educator. And therefore, he had to, like, leave things out that, you know, people just can't handle. You know, just don't talk about it too much. Right? He had to say things that people would understand, which is like, Shava l'chol nefesh, right? Things that, like, people could deal with, right? Okay? So, okay. But let me give you just a list of people.
Is he claiming that demons are
even formal, then? So that's interesting, right? Well, we haven't even gotten to what, if they exist, what are they, right? Yeah, even though the Gemara seems to say they are. I mean, it's a little bit weird. Okay, so there are... Now, regardless of what you think about Rambam, there were many Rishonim who definitely denied it. So we saw the Meiri already, but also Rav Shlomo ben Meshulam di Piera, Rav Yosef ben Shemtov, Rav Yosef Shlomo del Medigo, Rav Avi Atzar Shalom Basela, the Abar Benel. These are people that thought that the Rambam denied it, right? Sorry, these are people who think that the Rambam denied it, right? The Gra, by the way, also thought that the Rambam denied it, and therefore, what did the Gra do? He denied the Rambam. Right, different, right? Right, meaning, well, no, he rejected the Rambam. Right, meaning, right, each time you have to do this. One is to figure out what did the Rambam hold, and then you got to figure out, do I care, right? So the Gra, for example, thought that the Rambam believed in demons, did not believe in demons, rather, and therefore he thought, HaRambam Katav, right, he quotes the Rambam in the Parim Rishon Mishnayot, and therefore he says as follows, Vapilosofia hitato birov lakha lefresh gemara akol b'derech halitzil akorotam mipshatan. Philosophy led him astray and led him to read the Gemara against his God. Yes. There are some people who think that this is classic. There are some people who think that this Gra is a forgery because they don't want to. This is like they like the Gra and they like the Rambam. They don't want to believe the Rambam didn't like the Gra, right? But there are other people, right? So this is a big machloket. Many, right? Mark Shapiro is convinced for his reasons that this is a real piece in the Gra. But there are some people who are so convinced that the Gra didn't say it because how could the Gra not like the Rambam? So the Gra never said about the Rambam. There's a lot of this going on, right? Yes. Yes. And then he says, V'chas v'shalom, God forbid, eini ma'amen b'hem v'lo mehem, I don't believe in them, I don't believe in this, v'lo mehem onam, et kol v'remek v'shan, everything that more is simple as it is, el sheyesh b'ri apinimiyot, but there's deeper meaning, lo piniyot shabali apilosofia, not that, like, deeper meaning of those idiot philosophers, shezorkin oto la'ashpa, that throw it in the garbage, right? Shehem chitzoniyot, el shabali emet, right? No, those philosophers, garbage, throw it away, goodbye, right? Those who know the truth. Okay. So, God Almighty. Now, what? Yes. Fine. And then as we saw, there are the people who believe that the Rambam did not believe in demons. Okay? Now, again, Rav Kapach, even though he doesn't point to this parish of Mishnayot, is convinced the Rambam doesn't believe in demons by from the fact that every time the Gemara talks about demons, he, in a halachic context, he reads it differently. So, for example, the Hatra'a case, right, where a demon warns someone for a crime, right, the Rambam says if someone hears a warning but doesn't know who said it, right? So shade in that context is like, I don't know where it came from. It came from a demon, right? In terms of the Gemara that you read in Daf Gimel, don't go into a churva, right, into a ruin. The Rambam just takes out the reason entirely. Just don't go into a ruin. You know. Just don't go in. He just doesn't talk about it. The Gemara about Adam giving birth to demons, the Rambam says that's giving birth to people who don't have refined intellects, right? Right. So he, right. So it does sound like the Rambam doesn't believe in it, even if he doesn't say it explicitly. Now, other people who sound like they don't believe in it, Rav Nissim Gaon, who on that Gemara about Adam giving birth to spirits, demons, and lilin, right? And this is three different types: ruchot, shedim, vililin, right? Which is the male form of Liliths, right? Which is the only time we find that, because otherwise it's female; it's the mother of demons. But here it's a male demon. Very unclear. He just says it means deformed people. Rav Avram ben Arambam seems to say that all, right, says that all demon Gemaras are in dreams. Yaakov Bar Mari of Anatoly seems to deny it, yeah, that it's all dreams. Rav Yaakov Bar Mari of Anatoly denies it. The Ralbag doesn't believe in it, right, and said it, right, of Avram Bibago. Rav Levi ben Avram ben Chaim of Villefranche, who was a Provençal rationalist, who the Rashbam really didn't like, has a poem about not believing in demons, right, or something like that. No, it's better. Wait, is it a poem? It's something. No, it's not a poem, sorry. Whatever, he writes at the end that enlightened people should not believe everything he is told, even if the person telling it is a scholar and pious person. One should only believe that which can be sensed, and that which can comprehended, and that which is accepted from our prophets and sages. Yeah, that's a little bit complicated, right? That's the problem. Ibn Ezra is hard. Rav Moshe Taku claims that Ibn Ezra didn't believe in demons and was wrong, right? So Rav Moshe Taku thinks that Ibn Ezra didn't believe in demons, but that the Ibn Ezra was wrong, okay? Right. Levi Bar Avram thinks that Ibn Ezra does not believe in it. But others like Avram ben Hananya Yagel think that the Ibn Ezra did believe in demons.
Didn't he explain the pasuk that talks about Lilith as being the shade like the demon?
What?
Explain the pasuk that talks about Lilith as being a demon?
What? The Ibn Ezra has a cryptic comment about the Sa'ir Lazazel, right? Where it may be that he is talking about demons, but it's not really clear, right? Again, you can go through each one of these and say, does he believe there are demons? Does he not believe in demons?
Rashi probably doesn't because...
What?
Rashi probably doesn't because he explains Lilith as being an owl.
No, okay. That is sloppy methodology. As I said, there are many different terms. The fact that Rashi might believe that one term happens to not refer to a demon doesn't mean he doesn't believe in any demons. He thinks that the word Lilith doesn't mean demons. Does he say that every shade is an owl? No, he says Lilith is. Right? Well, why would that matter?
So what is his opinion then?
Well, why would you... Remember, there are many phrases, and he happens not to think one of them is a demon. That doesn't mean there are no demons. Okay, let's pause. Right, this is why I thought we need a lot of time, right? Just to get through the basics, right? You need a lot of time here. Okay, we'll pause here.